All right, everybody, welcome back into the Five Hole Taxi Squad, a Five Hole presentation. We are back tonight on October 26th for our week 4 preview. So, Jay, let's start up the fares and let's get into it. Welcome back in with the Five Hole Taxi Squad. We are your hosts, Craig, Jay, and Alan. What's going on, boys? Welcome back to the pod. Another full slate of games tonight that we're keeping our eye on while we're recording. What say you?
JoJo's pretty good. He might be all right.
JoJo for Vezina. Are they going to trade Vasilevsky now? Is that what's going to happen?
There we go, yeah. Vazzy for Bob. Talks. The trade is one for one.
Yeah, well, Boston. Oh my goodness, 3-1 lead. I guess the 3-1, throwing a 3-1 lead jokes are back on the menu now.
I've been saying it all week. I said it on Twitter. I said it to you guys on the weekend preview. Free Leo Carlson, 2 points in the or a goal in the third to help tie the game to push it to overtime, and then the primary assist on the game winner by Mason McTavish, stealing a win from the Boston Bruins. It's nice.
That's their first loss, too.
Let the kid play. And I think Michikov had another point. Like, those are some sneaky ads and streamers in that Anaheim team. Maybe when Leo Carlson is playing, because apparently they can score when he plays. So definitely a team to keep the eye on. But hey, we're here to talk about the week 4 preview heading into next week and how we can help not only each other, but all the listeners out there in the fantasy hockey world get primed and ready to maximize their schedule and look for the absolute best streamers possible to see how they can squeeze out a win as we bring into the final week of the first month of the season, which is crazy because it's moving so quickly. But let's dive in here into the week 4 preview, and we will start, as always, in the infirmary with our injury report. It would appear that the net in Pittsburgh is Tristan Jarry's. He's probably going to get all the starts, at least for the next 10 games, unless they have a back-to-back that Alan might bring up in the coming weeks. But Nedeljkovic has been put on long-term IR. He got hurt earlier in the week. The Pens have called up Magnus Helberg to be the backup.
Sweet name.
His stead. Great, great hockey name, but I don't know how many starts he'll get while Ned is out, unless Pittsburgh does have a back-to-back. Be mindful, if you are a Jarry owner, he's going to get all the starts through the next 10 games or 24 days, whatever comes first. I would imagine goalies, it's probably a lower body of some sort. And then maybe grab Magnus Helberg when you need a streaming option in Pittsburgh, since they're coming off a shutout tonight. Who are they playing tonight? Two shutouts tonight. Colorado shutout by Pittsburgh, and Tampa Bay just doing Tampa Bay things without Vasilevsky, shutting out the San Jose Sharks 6-0. My God. 10 goals across those two games of shutouts.
Man, it's the Giants are getting slain tonight. Who's left? Vegas?
No, Vegas is on another level in terms of how they're playing actual hockey. I don't know how much their players are actually contributing from a fantasy standpoint just yet. Oh, Sam Bennett back skating with the Florida Panthers. I believe I saw that report as well, that he's no longer in a non-contact jersey. Looks like he could be set to debut this weekend, Saturday, in their game against the Seattle Kraken. So if you are somebody holding Sam Bennett, who has a lot more value in Banger Cats leagues, keep an eye out on his status. And Alex Pietrangelo looks like he could be back soon. He was also seen skating today in Vegas's practice. I don't know if it takes anything away from Shea Theodore or how that kind of thing pans out, because they roll both power plays, but it looks like he'll be back soon. And then another news and notes from around the league. I'm sure most people have seen this because it's one of the top stories that's circulating on almost all NHL media, including fantasy hockey content, is Shane Pinto got suspended for 41 games for violating the league's gambling policy. I would imagine that means he was probably on like Bet365 gambling on NHL games, and they're not supposed to do that, probably. Knowing what we've seen in the NFL, it was probably for like a couple $100. Not a good look for the young man looking for a new contract from the Senators. From a fantasy standpoint, I think this makes Ridly Greig very, very viable moving forward, because he has no competition for ice time from Pinto. Pinto's not going to push him out to the wing. He has been kind of shifting between, even with Norris's return, between the 3C and the 2C, and he's actually been doing Ridly Greig things in terms of hits, but he also has a sneaky point upside, so somebody to put on your watch lists just from the Shane Pinto suspension. And then before I give it off to Alan and Jay for the schedules and the streaming conversation heading into week 4, we just have a couple of interesting listener questions in the mailbag that we wanted to address on tonight's show.
You've got mail.
That kind of piqued our interest in terms of their relevancy and potentially even longevity of a couple of fantasy assets that are in those questions. I'll give the first one to Jay, Master Destroyer on the Discord. He says, Ricky Rax hasn't done a lot. Is he a safe drop? I expected more, being power play 1, line 2 with Malkin. He just mentioned that Couturier is available in his league's waiver wire. What do we think? And are we at the point now that we're looking for value above replacement?
Yeah, the problem with Raquel as well is that he operates in that position of scarcity on the right wing. Personally speaking, I do have shares of Raquel in my own leagues, and I am currently still holding. It does feel like bag holding right now, but I do think as long as he continues to get the deployment, there is potential. I'm going to say at the same time, if you can see and check your league standings, if you can see someone on the right wing or someone that can be slotted in at other spots in your week, I do think Ricard Raquel falls into the droppable category, at least for me. Also worth noting, in the coming week, Pittsburgh plays 2 games. They play on a Sunday and Saturday. So he's not doing much, and even if he was red hot, he wouldn't have had many chances to do much anyway. So it could be worth dropping him now in week 3 and start of the game, you know, on one of your sports tracking apps and see how the Pens do against the Ducks. Track his ice time and you can make a decision on the super duper busy Saturday, November 4th. 30 teams playing. You probably won't roster him on your lineup on that Saturday either. I'm holding because I can't really find anyone else on the right wing I think I would trade for him in the league that I have him. But if, again, there is a week you want to drop him, it's going to be for week 4.
I'm just going to add to that. There are definitely signs for the listeners out there that have Ricky Rax. I have him in a couple spots as well. Over the last 3 games, he has not been over 14 and a half minutes time on ice. He's still being deployed with Malkin and Riley Smith on the second line, but he has been demoted to PP2, which is not really getting a whole lot of time on ice either in Pittsburgh at the present moment. He's still doing Raquel stuff from a shots on goal and a hits and blocks standpoint. But yeah, the time on ice, even though he's playing with Malkin and Riley Smith, who are still producing offensively, it doesn't look great. And I agree with you, Jay, that he is on that right wing side of the position scarcity. But like, for me right now, if Frank Vecchiarano was available based on similar deployment and production, I would make that switch immediately. If you're looking for a longer term hold, because Vetrano's getting, you know, 5+ more minutes of time on ice. He's on the second line as well. He's shooting, he's blocking, he's hitting, and he's producing from a point standpoint. Although he has no right wing eligibility, he's still dual eligible from a center left wing standpoint, so you can fit him into multiple spots in your lineup. You know, you can just go check on Seth Jarvis, depending on how deep your league is. A couple of names off the top of my head, Iofalo could be somebody. I know he's the other side, but deployment is better there. Yeah, there's definitely some not great signs right now from Rickard Rakell. Probably going to hold for now. Like, if you're looking, if you're in dire straits for a win going into next week, yeah, okay, you want to drop him 2 games versus 4 games and 3 off nights, if I'm not mistaken, from a Philly standpoint, for a Tippett, for a Couturier, for an Atkinson. Sure, go for it. And then it's just somebody to put back on your watch list, see if he starts to do anything, and see if you can get him back if you do choose to drop him. I don't know, Alan, any other thoughts before we jump into the second question?
I'm going to preface it with, depending on who's on the wire, yeah, I would say he's droppable. And you know who else gets right wing eligibility and access to a lot of the same players? Brian Rust, who left wing Locke says is getting that PP one time. So, yeah.
Yeah, and like, if you're really going to take a flyer on somebody from a deployment standpoint, or like, you know, is Dawson Mercer out there? Like, if you're talking right wing, you know, do you want to go to the well in Calgary with many right wings that are still out there and them kind of underperforming at the current time? Even Atkinson at this point, do you want him above Rakell? The answer might be yes, even in an interim basis, just based on production out the gates. Marchenko from Columbus, still getting PP1 deployment, right wing. So there are some viable replacements for him that are getting either similar or better deployment, just perhaps on quote-unquote lesser teams. As Alan said, check your waivers, look for the value above replacement. I think if you can find a right winger or somebody who's right wing eligible that's getting power play time and is also being deployed on their team second line, but PP1 time and getting north of 15-16 minutes a night, I think you can drop him and replace him. And then maybe if that doesn't work out, you then have opened up a streaming spot on your team. All right, second question. So this comes from Son of San Roman on the Discord. Thomas Chabot, demoted to third pairing, second power play. Are we selling low? Are we dropping? Are we holding? I think this is more of just like people are seeing the pressure that Sanderson is putting on offensive upside that Chychrun has. I think this is the Chabot owner asking what to do with him based around those factors. But just as a caveat, he is back on the top pairing with Jake Sanderson and has been for the last 3 games. So that is a consideration. But Alan, take it away.
Yeah, I actually have a personal stake in this one.
So do I.
Up until right before we started recording. So, yeah, I actually drafted in one league Chabot and Chychrun, hoping that, oh, yeah, Chabot will keep it for, I don't know, a third of the season, and then it'll shift over to Chychrun or Sanderson. So I kind of, like I did a long time ago, like when I held Edler and Quinn Hughes, I'd be set. Yeah, I didn't think it'd be like 3-4 games in before Chabot got knocked down to like a third, 33% of the power play time. If his peripherals alone are of value to you, I'd say hang on to him. Never sell low. That's for Wall Street bets people, not fantasy hockey. But I actually, just before we started recording, dropped him for Sanheim. Chychrun, he's still doing stuff even without that power play time, enough to justify holding him. But no, Sanheim, power play, schedule next week. That seemed a lot more attractive to me, and Chabot can be someone else's problem. He is probably expendable at this point, depending on who's on the wire.
You know, Jay loves defensemen, so I was just going to leave it for defenseman Jay to kind of chime in, but I'll give you my 2 cents. He is still the top minute muncher in Ottawa. It looks like there's a shift with how they're trusting Sanderson. He's blocking at an extremely high level, so he definitely fills that category. He does shoot at a good clip for a defenseman still. It's not great in terms of being on one of the higher scoring teams to start the season, and he only has 3 assists, nothing on the power play. I think he has 13 shots on goal, if I'm not mistaken, through the first 2 weeks. I also had a couple of personal stakes in Shabbat, and just to give kudos to Alan in my home league, that's a keep 4, that's been my longest standing and running league. I've always seemed to end up with him, and this is the first year that I didn't hold, and somebody dropped Mike Matheson. I immediately spent Fab and made that decision quickly because I had already gotten Sanheim for this week and for next week. Yeah, I think at this point, based on what Sanderson is doing and how they're trusting him with equal, if not slightly more ice time, more power play time, the offensive upside of Chychrun, you know, unless you're in a deep categories league or a deep league, like a 16-team league or a 14-team league, like if you're in a 10-team league or a 12-team league, I think at this point, if there's a PP1 quarterback out there on any of the teams that have started a little bit hot, I would make that switch as well. I don't know what you think, Jay.
You mainly think from a couple of perspectives when it comes to defensemen, right? So obviously we know that the quarterback power play one is super coveted, but there's only one spot. What are you going to do? A couple of things that always are good to remember are, how old are these players? What incentive does the team have for playing them, for not playing them? And I think a lot of those factors actually do point to Shabbat being held, right? He is an $8 million cap hit. He's 26. You can argue either in his prime or you're about to enter his prime. And no, he's not played a lot or done very well with the tons of PP1 ice time he was given so far, but we've played 7-8 games in the season so far. It's a pretty short leash, seemingly, that he's been given, and it's pretty reasonable to argue that even if Shabbat and Sanderson get all those minutes, or, you know, like, because Sanderson got the power play one time against the Sabres, and then the last game against the Islanders, it looks like Chychrun's got the power play one time. It's pretty reasonable to assume that everybody's going to slump and it'll come back to Shabbat. I think the question that is worth asking more than anything, can your team hold off, and is it worthwhile for your team to hold on to him when he's not PP1 for all those weeks in between if he's playing the yo-yo game?
Just a couple of tidbits on him. Like, if he's your fourth defenseman in a league, I think there's some viability for a hold there. But just for some perspective, like, he's still leading, according to Hockey Reference, he's still leading all Senators skaters in ice time, even more so than Sanders, even though over the last 3 games, Sanders has had more ice time than him and has essentially been deployed like a number one defenseman, both at even strength and on the power play. He's third on the team on shots on goal, and Sanderson is 6th. Chychrun is 10th with only 10 shots on goal. Shabbat has almost 5 more minutes of ice time than Chychrun per game, and Sanderson has almost 3.5 more minutes per ice time than Chychrun. So Shabbat is still being deployed overall as the number one defenseman, but based on power play share, Sanderson is actually being deployed as their number one defenseman. And obviously it shows. Sanderson is second on the team in scoring right now. He has 7 points, 3 goals, 4 assists. 3 of those 7 points are on the power play. Chychrun, 6 points, 3 goals, 3 assists. 2 of those 6 points are on the power play. And then, like I said, Shabbat did have an assist tonight. He had 4 shots on goal. I believe he had some more blocks as well. Yeah, he had 2 more blocks, but Sanderson had 3 more minutes of ice time than he did tonight. But they both had a very similar stat line. One assist, Sanderson had 3 shots compared to Shabbat's. And I think it goes back to what we were talking about with Ricky Rax. Is there a viable value above replacement, like a Matheson, like a Sinham, even like a Michikov getting deployment with the Ducks now as a number one defenseman? You have to consider is if he's your second defenseman and one of those guys is out there, like a Matheson or a Sinem, I think you have to consider that move. If he's your fourth guy, I think you can maybe hold. But like, even is Justin Falk a better option than him at this point? Just from his ability to contribute in all categories. You know, Shabbat doesn't really hit, but they'll have similar deployment on their teams. I saw that Oliver Ekman-Larsson got injured today in practice. Does that give Gustav Forsling a bump? Like, he'll be on power play one, I would imagine, because they don't have anybody else. So wouldn't you rather have him versus Shabbat not getting really any power play time? Not Kalen Addison, but go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, the big one I think with Ottawa that all listeners need to remember at the end of the day is Ottawa probably has the most enviable defensive core situation. All those guys are, what, 26, 25, they're young. Any one of those guys, given a long run, could bring Ottawa to success on the power play one. But we're not Ottawa Senators fans just rooting for the team or rooting for good hockey. We're fantasy hockey fans that are rooting for these players to lead and champion our teams to contention in fantasy playoffs. You don't want your first three defensemen to all have that Ottawa defense power play situation, and that you don't want all of that on your team. So look very carefully, look on and scour your waiver wire. If there's a guy that's, if Matheson, right, 30%, 35% owned, I would way rather have a Matheson over any of the Ottawa Senators players right now. Not because I actually think Matheson is necessarily the better player, but definitely because Matheson just has nobody else to compete with him. He's competing against his own injury history. That's it. But all of those other Ottawa players, every single one that we listed, I'm even going to throw in Sanderson and Chychrun alongside Shabbat there. Their problem is that they have a short leash and a short run. You can see that even though Shabbat started PP1, he gets 5 to 6 games. He isn't immediately producing. He's still producing. He's just not immediately producing to what they think. They're cutting bait. They're not cutting bait on him. They signed him to like a 6-year extension. He's going to be there forever. He's going to be there helping Ottawa compete deep into the Cup championships, but he's not doing that for your regular season fantasy hockey team.
I disagree with your take that Matheson is above a replacement for all of them, because right now the defenseman you want in Ottawa and you probably can hold, I don't think he's going to score at this clip, is Jake Sanderson. He's being deployed as their number one defenseman over the last week and a half at both even strength and power play, and he's producing. I think his leash is extending by the game just based on time on ice, and he continues to produce at a high level. Like, Chychrun hasn't seen over 20 minutes a game in 3 games. Like, they're using him, like Alan mentioned, I think, in our last discussion, and I saw you kind of say that to a couple of listeners, as kind of that offensive cog defenseman, kind of like a Goss Despair role right now. They're not giving him the trusted minutes. Those are going to Shabbat, and they're going to Sanderson. And to finish the discussion, the most amount of games Shabbat has ever played is 71 in his career, and that was in 2019-2020. If Sanderson can play a full 82, he is going to outperform Shabbat and Chychrun from a fantasy standpoint and from a real-life standpoint. But I don't know if any Sanderson owners at this point are going to give him up with how he has started the season. But I agree with you. If Matheson is out there or Sanheim is out there, I would make that switch, unless you're in a super deep league and the waiver wire is thin at defense, then you want to hold on him to see how that nets out, because he does have a 50-point floor if he can stay healthy and probably close to double-digit goals once he gets rolling. Okay, that's enough of that. We're here to talk about Week 4 and the Week 4 preview. Let's get into that. So, Alan, why don't you take us through the best schedules and the streaming suggestions for the people out there, and then Jay can get us into strategy from there.
So, kind of worth noting, Monday is not considered an off night this week. Tuesday is the off night with only 2 games, because I guess everyone's out trick-or-treating, trying to see what mundane thing can be turned into a sexy costume. But Philly, they have 4 games this week with 2 off nights. the best schedule probably for this week. And then Arizona and Vegas both have four games with one off night. And then also worth mentioning, Anaheim, Buffalo, Jersey, and St. Louis all have three games, but two of them are on off nights. And then this week, Minnesota, Ottawa, Pittsburgh, San Jose, and Washington all have two games, and they're both on busy days. So these are probably the teams you don't want to pick up from. Yeah, so just based purely on schedule for points, one of the Philly top line, Couturier, Atkinson, Tippett. Tippett's the highest ownership at 32%. Like, whatever you want, one of these guys is going to offer it for you. Atkinson shoots a lot. He's, I know in Columbus he was the trigger man. I assume he plays a similar role here in Philly. Couturier covered all your cats, even faceoffs, because he's the center. And then Tippett, I mean, a lot of you drafted him. This is his time to shine, is the hits and the scoring upside. But Couturier and Atkinson are, of those three, they're the ones on power play one. Travis Sanheim, QB right now, and he'll cover all the categories. He's only 19% owned, but I imagine as the week goes on, when Monday rolls around, that's going to shoot up. And again, Arizona, going back to the well, one of Hayton, Schmaltz, or Cooley, they're all less than 50% yes. owned. Always got him at it's good. Yeah, it's I remember back in the day, like when the TJ Zach and Raj, it was always Nick Schmaltz. And then it looks like Ivan Barbashev's ownership is dropped down to about 40% right now.
I've seen him dropped in a lot of places, actually.
Yeah, line one guy on the team, I think one of the remaining teams that's undefeated in regulation, or however you want to asterisk it, any center left wing. And then honorable mentions, Chando Stevenson, Paul Cotter. He's got line two. He'll get you some hits as well. Maybe some of you are still holding on Casey Mittelstadt. Doesn't look like they're breaking up that second line quite yet in Buffalo. For goalie streams, Connor Ingram on Arizona. Likely to see one of Anaheim or Montreal, the lowball teams. He could turn into a long-term hold, actually. Sounds like Veggie Boy is struggling a little bit, and they seem to be running a little bit of a tandem.
They've been splitting starts, just kind of rotating between the two of them, and they both have had an up and down start to the season. So they're both very much rosterable, especially in a week where you've got four games.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, you're at least one to two starts from either of those goalies. Lucas Dostal in Anaheim. He could see that Arizona game. If you want to pick up both and put them against each other, see who gets the win. That's always
Anaheim
fun.
Stealing victories against the Boston Bruins.
I know,
baby.
Right?
Let's go. Leo Carlson's only going to play two games though this week, so everybody just slow down. Okay. Stupid. Slow down.
And Scott Wedgwood in Dallas. He likely sees Calgary in their Dallas's back to back. Maybe he sees a second start. And then big boy banger options. Two of these out of Vegas, Keegan Kolesar, right wing, 2% owned. He's averaging about 3-4 hits a game. Officer Braden McNabb, 35% owned, block specialist, about 3 a game. And he hits a little for you too. Man, I'm going to butcher this. In Philly, Nick Deslauers. Delauers? Nick Delauers.
Nicholas Delorier.
Nick Delorean. He's the time traveler.
We got you. We got you, Alan. One of us of us will be able to pronounce all these damn names.
Nick Delorean, the time traveler. 3%, and he's doing about 3-4 hits per game. Again, going back to the well for Philly this week, man. That's the team to stream from. And hand it over to Jay.
Before Jay jumps into strategy, if you're in a league with Jay, which both me, Alan, and I are, we all know his teams are going to just have every Flyer and every Coyote that possibly exists. He's going to be streaming them. But why don't you take us through strategy heading into week four, Jay?
One thing I'll mention too when it comes to Ingram as well and Vejmelka is, just as much as you can argue for them being picked up, you can also argue for them being dropped. They are defined by the schedule, so don't be afraid to drop. There are just some players where you can treat them as your waiver wire bench, so to speak.
Please,
stream
please,
team, baby.
Please go drop Vejmelka in the Listener League. Please do it.
Yes.
Please go do it.
Okay.
Do it.
We'll find out which one of us has the higher waiver claim real quick.
Okay, so the strategy is pretty much becoming a pattern, obviously, at this point. Just like Alan mentioned, Alan covered a lot of the strategy already with the normal off nights. And yes, week four is a non-normal off night schedule, definitely skewed by the Halloween setup. But you need to target your Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday slots. If you can stream any of those players, all those players are playing. Point to note as well, so far we can already see that in the week, there's pretty much a split down the middle. The middle is either the Thursday morning or it's the Friday morning. It's the Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday mornings where you can have teams that are streamed for the Monday through to Wednesday or Monday through to Thursday, and then you can rotate them and maximize games played in either half of your week. Now, when you're looking at our streaming, the first thing you'll notice as well is that there are zero teams playing on a Monday and Tuesday back-to-back. There's also no team playing a Tuesday and Wednesday back-to-back, so there's no way where you can try to add a player, snag a Monday, Tuesday game, drop them, and still try to maximize the remaining 5 days of the week. The best we can do in terms of schedule maximization is we can target teams that are playing on Mondays and Wednesdays. Okay. That way, you can have 2 games out of the first 3 days played in week four, and that leaves additional ads for you to burn and use for your Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And what you will do is you will target teams that are playing 3 out of those remaining 4 days. For the Monday, Wednesday, there's only 4 teams that play on Monday and Wednesday. So there's Arizona, there's Dallas, there's Philly, and there's Anaheim. So obviously go look at your own league. Some leagues are ridiculous, right? Like you even have Clayton Keller is 97% owned, which means if your league has Clayton Keller available and I am suggesting Logan Cooley, no, do not go and say, well, Jay suggested Logan Cooley and snag the plus button on Logan Cooley. No, take the best player available in your respective league.
Jay, what kind of milkbag league
how
are
is
you?
Logan Cooley not the best player?
And how is Keller available anywhere? Are you okay?
No, Craig, like, I'm mentioning that it's 97% owned, there are some taco leagues out there that still don't have.
I don't think those leagues listen to us.
No, those are like six-man work leagues.
Okay,
no.
So look for the best player unowned available that fall into either of those 4 teams. The Arizona, Dallas, Philadelphia, Anaheim, and absolutely just as Alan mentioned, it's going to be the Flyer well this week. It's just going to be tons and tons, an absolute sea of orange, white, and black that's going to be dotted like tigers on your fantasy lineup. So go look for your line ones. Look for your D1s. Look for all those guys that are power play one Philadelphia Flyers. See where they fit on your schedule for the Monday and the Wednesday and line them up. Once you have them and it rolls around to Thursday, November 2nd in the morning, what you're going to do is you're going to drop every last one of those Philadelphia Flyers because you're going to try to maximize your week again for the second half. So what you're going to target is you're going to look for teams that play 3 of the 4 nights. Only 2 teams play 3 out of those 4 nights, but it's worth mentioning them both anyway. It's Vegas and it's New Jersey. Okay, so 30 teams are playing on Saturday, and Vegas is one of those teams playing on the Saturday. So obviously, if you can't fit the Vegas player you pick up is basically just going to be a 2-game stream. So it's not really worth it. But if you can fit them in, then that's a maximized version in the stream. The real team to own in the second half is New Jersey, because they play on the Thursday, Friday, and Sunday off night. So if you can somehow snag one of Arizona, Dallas, Philly, or Anaheim in the first Monday and Wednesday, and then flip those players for a New Jersey player, you can maximize and have that one streaming spot snag you 5 extra games. Now, the big problem with New Jersey is was a great team to stream in week 3, and they are a great team to stream in the second half of week 4. There's just nobody left. We're talking about Andre Palats. Like, good luck. Look for a player that is available. Look for a player that is getting any form of deployment. And yeah, that's the best for maximizing, not necessarily in terms of quality. So if your league's got additional ads, maybe it's worthwhile to try to target any team that is playing on the Thursday, Friday, and Sunday using those ads you saved from the Philly ads and players. One more thing that's worth mentioning as well is, I can't stress this enough to the listeners, if you are playing in a weekly head-to-head, it doesn't really matter if you, and now this sounds like I'm a little bit salty because of what's happening in my matchup against Allen this week, but it doesn't really matter, aside from pride, if you lose by 4 points or by 400 points. Although, I might be getting to that 400-point loss setup against Allen this week. But functionally, if you could, you might as well use your extra or lately saved ads in week 3 for a week that you're hard winning or hard losing for early streams onto week 4. Because then a scenario like this where you have a bunch of teams you can choose in the first half of week 4 that you can stream from, right? Like, I would stream comfortably line 1, power play 1, Philadelphia Flyers. But I don't really, even if their schedule's really good, I don't really want to stream third line or fourth line even New Jersey Devils. If I don't have any available ads, though, I'm forced to have to choose between schedule maximizer or player deployment setup.
It's always deployment. It's always deployment.
But you, listener, can get the best of both worlds if you can make an early assertion of your own team and say, hey, look, I'm winning this week hard anyway. I can preemptively save that ad. Or you can be like, fuck it, I am not winning this week. If I rolled this again 100 times, I might as well save an ad and roll it forward again. It sounds like I'm salty, but the logic is there. Doesn't matter if you win a weekly head-to-head by 4 points or by 400 points. You might as well save your future ads if your week is basically decided for the next one instead. Oh, Craig, I'll send it back to you.
Okay, so thank you, Jay. Some good insight in terms of how to maximize the schedule and some consideration. I think you still have to go into the Philly well wherever you can next week, just because there isn't much from a New Jersey Devils standpoint from a streaming perspective at all. Like, Eric Halla might be there, but he's line 3, not getting any power play time. Andre Palat getting a little bit of power play time. On line 2, if I'm not mistaken, he does hit a little bit, but he doesn't really do much unless he's getting points and he's not getting tons of ice time. In a better scenario where you had like a Philly Arizona situation, I would absolutely agree with you. Like, stream early with Philly, drop stream late with Arizona. It's just going to be tough to manage that next week. So I think you've really got to focus in on Philly. You've got to focus in on Anaheim, you've got to focus in on Arizona, even though they only have one off night. But the guy, and even St. Louis, like the guys that have the most off nights with the most available players getting the real deployment is where you want to go in a week like next week with the weird schedule around Halloween. So that being said, we're going to do taxi squad watch list, guys, but we're going to bring the stretch limo van cab out so everybody can fit in.
Taxi!
We're going to look at a couple of players just to keep an eye on. And my first guy, as I mentioned, is Philip Hedel with the New York Rangers. Over the last 7 days, he has 5 assists, 1 power play point, and 9 shots on goal. doesn't do a whole lot peripherally, isn't really getting any power play time, but they seem to be giving some additional even strength minutes to him and Alexis Lafreniere, and he's actually centering the second line, according to Daily Faceoff, with Panarin and Lafreniere. That's not good for Vinny Tro. Come on, what's happening here? But yeah, Philip Hedel, second line deployment now with the Breadman and Alexis Lafreniere, who are getting, they're both getting pretty good ice time. Well, not, his last two games aren't the greatest, but it's kind of all over the place, depending on situation, I would imagine. But definitely somebody in the taxi squad watch list. And Alan, I'm going to go to Paul Cotter. This guy, man, very interesting. His ice time's kind of all over the place. 10 minutes, 13 minutes, 15 minutes. Daily Faceoff has him line three with William Karlsson and Mike Amadio. But over the last 7 days, he has 2 goals, 2 assists, 4 points, 2 penalty minutes, 2 power play points, 4 shots on goal, 9 hits, and 2 blocks. So this guy's got some very sneaky deep value. And then our last taxi squad guy, but the reason I brought out the van cab will be explained in a second, is Nick Paul real? Like, what is happening?
He passes my eye test.
He's now the 2C, pushing Cirelli down the lineup and playing with Stamkos and Hagel. And in the last week, he has 2 goals, 1 assist, 3 points, 5 penalty minutes, 2 shots on goal, or sorry, two power play points and 5 shots on goal. Dual eligible Nick Paul, center left wing, only 33% owned. He might be a value above replacement player at this point, just based on deployment alone.
Yeah, line 2, power play 1. Oh my
God, I might have to add this guy on Monday.
Not next week, though.
Yeah, yucky schedule next week, but he might be a more of an interim, long-term hold. And then I'm going to join the taxi squad watch list to our streamer discussion, because I think there's some deeper streamers that can be considered just because of some of the schedules this week. Paul Cotter being one of them, because I can't believe how hot this man is right now. And he does contribute from a hit standpoint as well, like you mentioned. But a couple of other honorable mentions from a streaming standpoint. Bobby Brink, although line three with Noah Cates and Joel Farabee, he is on power play 1.
And he got a couple points tonight, I think. At least one.
All of their best players. He scored twice tonight. I think he had 15, 16 minutes tonight, if I'm not mistaken.
He also, in a night where nobody else got more than a minute and a half of power play time, snagged a cool 3 minutes of power play time.
I don't even know why I'm doing this, because Jay's just going to snipe all of these guys like immediately.
Oh, no, he's already on it. He's already on it.
We're giving Jay the edge here, Alan, by me going deeper into these teams. I mentioned him in the weekend preview, Scott Layton. I think he's more of a Bangers Cats ad just from his hits and blocks. A little bit of point upside just because he's the 2C there. But I think he plays in a more of a defensive role. But because of their schedule, you probably want to stream whoever is available from their top six. And he's in their top six. Same with Tyson Forrester. Not getting great time on ice. He's on their second power play, but he's on their second line with their best player, Travis Konecny, at even strength. Plays on the right wing. Definitely somebody in a deeper league that you could stream next week and probably get a little bit of offensive upside from him. Go to the Ducks. You guys, I think the listeners are trying to figure out that I really want them to just be better and score more and be more exciting. Leo Carlson is definitely a viable streamer. Hope to God he plays that one night, that one off night later in the week that they have. Maybe we can get him in the second half of the week as a streamer. Ryan Strome, Mason McTavish, Frank Vecchiarano is actually approaching Jesko Cech status based on his ownership, because I think people are not sleeping on him as much based on his start. But as we have talked many times about the Ducks, when they have a prime schedule, they have a lot of pieces that you can stream from. And I'm really just trying to distract Jay from the other names that I'm saying, just so that he thinks that the Ducks are the best streaming option for next week. But Pavel Michikov, power play one quarterback there, getting top defensive minutes, producing kind of across the board pretty admirably in terms of category coverage. So some decent pieces there, I think, that you can stream. I've even seen Zegras dropped in a couple of places. He is off. Man, him missing camp does not look very good right now. Yucky. But I'm sure he will bounce back at some point. I wouldn't maybe recommend dropping him. I would be more of a hold, but maybe just go check if he's available and you need center help. Other than Paul Cotter, I didn't really see anybody. I know William Karlsson was kind of off to a hot start, all things considered. You know, William Karlsson is William Karlsson, and he only is center eligible. I think from like a depth defenseman category coverage, you can go to, you know, not just Braden McNabb, like you mentioned, Alan. You can go to Nicholas Hough. Alec Martinez are also viable, you know, from a blocks coverage. And Nicholas Hough also does a little bit of both hits and blocks with a little bit of point upside at even strength. If you're looking for category coverage in a categories league, I think that about wraps it from the week four preview. But I think we got to put it out there to the people, and moving forward as a regular segment in our week previews, we will keep ourselves accountable as we put these names out. But I'm going to give us a couple cha-chings because we can remember a couple of them. We don't remember Jay's streamer suggestions because he suggests everybody to stream all the time, but we'll keep him a little bit more accountable moving forward. But my streamers of the week for week three were Ryan Hartman and Casey Mittelstadt. Both have hit with points. Both have contributed from a fantasy standpoint for those who have streamed. So I'm going to say cha-ching, cha-ching for me. And Alan's guy definitely hit, Dylan Strome. Does he not have four goals this week? Or does he have two goals?
Four goals since we recorded.
We might even start grading this. So Alan gets a grade A cha-ching for the streamer of the week for week three, followed by honorable mention Ryan Hartman and Casey Mittelstadt. We'll figure out Jay's for week four in a second. But why don't we give our...
If it was a hot guy checking, did I end up saying James Van Riemsdyk? Was that the guy?
I don't know if you told the listeners to stream him or not.
Oh, maybe it was a hot guy checking. Anywho, he didn't do very well.
Before we get to the streamers of the week, to give you guys a second to think about it, I just give one more taxi squad watchlist guy just as a streamer candidate for next week. A deeper streamer is Matias Michelli in Arizona, still getting second line deployment, and he's still on the top power play. Through the last 7 days, he has 4 assists for 4 points. 3 of those 4 assists are on the power play and 4 shots on goal. It looks like he's just like turning into this power play specialist assist guy. But hey, if you're in a deeper league and you're looking to maximize your schedule and you're looking for a viable streamer, he's running fairly hot for now waiver wires thinning out. But streamers of the week, week four, let's go. Jay, give the people who you are definitely going to be targeting, who I'm going to try to steal from you so you can't win stream. Well, you may be winning streamers of the week, but I'm gonna win my matchup because I stream them and not you.
Oh man, I may have already laid my cards on the table even during this entire recording, but yeah, I guess it's Cam Atkinson on the right wing if you got space for him. If you don't have space for him, Sean Couturier at center. Again, wherever you have space, it doesn't matter really where they are as long as they're power play one, touching the puck, and on the off nights.
So you're taking two. You take, just to be sure.
He sniped me already.
So he's taking Sean Couturier and
Cam Atkinson.
Cam Atkinson. The guy's doubling down on probably like the guys that are going to be streamed the most.
Please don't. I'm not giving it to Jay. Philly.
I'm not giving it to Jay first in the week five preview, Alan. Okay, we're not allowing this to happen. Okay.
I fucking sniped.
Okay, I will do mine first, Alan, because everybody knows probably I want to say Leo Carlson, but everybody also knows he's only going to play 2 out of their 4 games, which sucks. So unless it's the later 2 games, which is the one off night, and I believe Saturday, he's not really a viable streamer because you're not really going to know that until he starts sitting out. So I can't say him. I'm not going to do it because I don't want to snipe Allen's other guy that he could say, and I don't even know how owned he is, so he might not even be viable. But I'm going to say, and I'm going to go out on a limb. I don't like this limb, but Jay's just all up in Philly land. I'm going to do two, and I'm going to do Logan Cooley and Bobby Brink, as because I brought up the super deep guys. Okay, Allen, give the people one. Give the people one.
I'm going Barbashev. Like, that's just, it's low-hanging fruit, but it's if he's available, it's a no-brainer.
Okay, so Allen, streamer of the week, Ivan Barbashev. Probably just a go-check guy, but he is getting dropped in a lot of places. Jays, Sean Couturier and Cam Atkinson, which I think is kind of a cop-out because, like, if they don't have a good week and Jay streams them everywhere, he's probably going to lose. And mine is Bobby Brink and Logan Cooley. There you have it, folks. Your week four preview in the books. Take it while it's hot. Get ready to stream for next week. Enjoy it. Good luck in the rest of your week three matchups. If you're not winning, you know, try to find some streamers for the weekend. If not, do what Jay suggests and just get prepared for next week and go get all the flyers you can on your team if you have any ads left. We will park the van cab for now. We will turn off the fares. We will thank you for listening. Please follow us on Twitter. Find us all in the show notes. Join the Five Hole Fantasy Hockey Discord if you are not in there already. Tons of like-minded fantasy hockey people discussing all things fantasy hockey and life in general. It's a lot of fun, and there's a lot of questions going on right now. If you have not done so and you are new to fantasy or you're new to being a commissioner in a league, check out Mike Rogerson's short limited series, the Five Hole Fantasy Hockey Guide. He has released 5 episodes to date with 2 more to come. So please get on to wherever you get your podcasts and check that out. And as always, wherever you get your podcasts, like, subscribe, leave 5 stars. Reach out to us on Discord or Twitter if you have any feedback or questions for myself, for Jay, for Allen, or for Matty K, our other taxi squad driver. And we will be back early Monday or whenever Allen decides to release that for quick fares with myself, Jay, and Matty K, looking at the goings on in the league through 3 weeks. And your mainstay hosts will be back by midweek next week with the week 4 weekend preview. So stay tuned for that. And we will sign off for now. And as always, it's all love, and good night, everybody.
We'll pick you up later.